Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. As I begin today's programs, I want to encourage you once again, go to our website, renewalministries.net. You receive information at the end of this program about how to get a free booklet of mine. You receive other information about how to contact us. But I especially would like to encourage you to take a look at our website, renewalministries.net, and see what's available to you there in terms of books and CDs and articles, all kinds of material to help you to grow. Books that we recommend to you that are perhaps some are written by us, some are written by others, but there are all kinds of resources available to you. And I really want to encourage you to go to that website because I want you to see how to deepen what I say here on the radio, how to take what I say and actually learn how to put it into practice. So take a look at the range. I'm not going to name anything in particular today. I just want to say, look at the range of it all, because sometimes you can think of one book and you go and you just pay attention to that one. I want you to take a look at the range of things that are available to you. As I said, there are books, there are booklets, there are CDs, there are DVDs, there's just all kinds of tools and resources available. So take a look at our website, renewalministries.net. And now we take a look at the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verses 8 to 14, and then verse 22. Now remember, Joseph had become the source of great help for his family and for the people of Israel while he had the power that he had under Pharaoh. But this begins with the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 8. A new king who knew nothing of Joseph came to power in Egypt. And he said to his subjects, "Look how numerous and powerful the people of the children of Israel are growing, more so than we ourselves. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them to stop their increase. Otherwise, in time of war, they too may join our enemies to fight against us and so leave our country." Now, we're always looking out for ourselves, you see. Accordingly, taskmasters were set over the children of Israel to oppress them with forced labor. Thus they had to build for Pharaoh the supply cities of Pithon and Ramses. Yet the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. The Egyptians then dreaded the children of Israel and reduced them to cruel slavery, making life bitter for them with hard work in mortar and brick, and all kinds of field work, the whole cruel fate of slaves. Pharaoh then commanded all his subjects, "Throw into the river every boy that is born to the Hebrews, that you may let all the girls live." Look, we rise and we fall, don't we? We get help, and then we're confronted by another difficult situation. How much of this in our own lives, not the way it is experienced in the book of Exodus, but all the same themes are present in our lives. And I was struck by a little commentary that Magnificat magazine made at the beginning of these readings. It says this: we want to be worthy of Jesus Christ. We want to find our life, our true life, by losing our life for his sake, even if it means having that life made bitter for us with hard work and mortar and brick, they quote. That's what happened to the people of Israel. It became hard labor. It was bitter. It was hard. It was very, very difficult. And this comment says this: will we be true to the Lord, even if one's enemies will be those of his own household, even if it means taking up our cross and following after Jesus? However the modern expression of the difficulties and trials that we undergo in life, however that gets expressed concretely in our different cultures and our backgrounds, Are we willing to follow him even until death? So often, we just don't want suffering. Nobody wants suffering. But Jesus asks us to share in his suffering for his people that we might receive the glory of the kingdom. It's not useless suffering, even when it seems that it is. It is not. If it's offered to him, it becomes beautiful in his sight. And he will bless us for all eternity. That's a sure and firm promise. God never lies. Trust him. Our help, says Psalm 124, our help is in the name of the Lord. Had not the Lord been with us, let Israel say, had not the Lord been with us when men rose up against us, then would they have swallowed us alive when their fury was inflamed against us. Then would the waters have overwhelmed us. The torrent would have swept over us. Over us then would have swept the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who did not leave us a prey to their teeth. We were rescued like a bird from the fowler's snare. Broken was the snare and we were freed. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So when you're experiencing all the darkness, sense of being drowned, a sense of being attacked and almost destroyed, God will rescue those who put their trust in him. That's what this responsorial psalm is telling us, Psalm 124. Apply it to your life. The word is true for you, not just for when this was written thousands of years ago. This word is for you now. God's word is living and active. God's word never grows old. God never grows old. And you will have eternal life with him if you persevere now. The verse before the gospel says this, blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we suffer in union with Christ, when we're persecuted for our values, our standards, have no fear. Have no fear, for the kingdom of God will be ours. In the Gospel again of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 34 through 11, chapter 11, verse 1. 10:34 to 11:1. I'm repeating these in the hopes that most of you are coming to the point where you have your Bibles with you when you're listening to this program, if at all possible. Jesus said to his disciples, do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I have come to bring not peace, but the sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's enemies will be those of his household. Now, does Jesus set that up purposefully? No. But he knows that the gospel will be opposed. He knows that people will hate the gospel. He does not want that. He offers all the graces that they be different, but people choose. And many people choose to betray Christ. Many people choose not to obey the gospel. So when we do obey the gospel, we have to prepare ourselves. It's not going to be easy. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Now, what that means is, if you have a choice between your father, your mother, or God, you're going to obey God. That's what it means here, to love someone more. Brothers and sisters, are your standards clear? You can be kind to your pagan relatives. Be kind. Be good to them. But don't accept their values and don't hide your own values. Don't put it in their faces, but neither hide your values and your worth. It's whoever loves father or mother more than me is the one who just tries to make peace. Whatever I have to compromise, I just want peace. Don't do that. Bring peace as much as you can, but you want people to have the peace that comes from the heart of God. It's the only peace that will last. So strive for peace, but for real peace. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. So we receive not only Jesus, but the Father. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever receives a righteous man because he is righteous will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink because he is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward. So it's not necessarily, brothers and sisters, the big, the splendid that the world lauds, all the things that are known publicly around the world. That's not what's important. If you only give a cup of cold water, but you do it because you love me, you will not lose your reward. You will be rewarded for that. See, God's values, God's standards are different from ours. Take on his. Choose his. When Jesus finished giving these commands to his 12 disciples, he went away from that place to teach and to preach in their towns. Cardinal Robert Sarah from Africa wrote this, and I close with this, that we might think about it. Several months ago in Jordan, in the Syrian refugee camps, a little 7-year-old Muslim boy shouted at me, "Does Allah exist? Does Allah exist? Why did he allow my father to be killed?" Indeed, his father had had his throat cut by the Islamist rebels in his presence, and he was profoundly shocked. We attempted to talk to him about the good Lord God, the Father and Creator of all wonderful things, who detests evil, to try to help the boy get over his traumatic experience. How could anyone ever forget such suffering, which is a direct result of the barbarity of men who have perverted religion? This child had all the necessary material aid. He lacked nothing, neither clothing nor food, nor sanitary facilities, nor housing. But that was not enough to console him. Only the closeness of God and the experience that he loves us and suffers within us reveal the mystery of suffering and bring consolation, comfort, and interior peace. He says a lot more, but I mentioned that instance, brothers and sisters, to say giving food and clothing and shelter, there is dire need for that. Please do that anywhere in the world that you can with a reputable organization. Do it. But what Cardinal Sarah is saying here is that's not the heart of it. We have to bring them to the heart of Jesus Christ, where the only real consolation and the lasting consolation will be. So I want to urge you, brothers and sisters, pray for our brothers and sisters all over the world who are suffering persecution. Pray for them daily. Ask that people come to them and bring them the saving news of Jesus Christ. May God bless us all. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.